You're here for a reason, and it's to win a championship. 7-9 is not good enough. Hopefully you've had time to reflect back on last season. We start today and we build this thing and we build this bully. Identity, men, identity. What will our identity be in 2017?
61 yards. And the kick is... It's good! Touchdown!
Oh my God.
72-yard bomb to Aguilar.
He fires, and it's intercepted. Mills, down the left side. He gets a block. He's in for the touchdown. The football is loose, and running with the football is Rodney McLeod.
When he got into the end zone, he was sandwiched and took a big shot. So they've got to check him out.
So Nick Foles has to get ready. He's being sacked. They go to Freeman, and he's thrown for a loss. 35-40. Down the far side is Ajayi. Going outside. He's in. Touchdown. Is it picked off? It is.
It's
by Corey
away.
Graham. Hit. Football loose.
They do.
And the Eagles have it. Foles steps up. He is going deep. And in for the touchdown is Jeffrey. They come right back. It's a flea flicker. He's going deep. Good. Touchdown! And it is caught by Alshon Jeffrey for a touchdown! Touchdown by Nick Foles! Touchdown to Clement! Fires! Slant! Touchdown!
Fumble.
And he fumbles the football and the Eagles have it! The Eagles are Super Bowl champions!
We brought you guys a world championship and we are not done yet. This is our new norm.
How sweet does this sound? With the 32nd pick in the 2018 draft, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles select? Well, that remains to be seen. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris McPherson, joined alongside Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, and welcome to Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson, the preview show as we get you ready for 1 hour from now when the 2018 NFL Draft kicks off. We're going to have to wait just a little bit, but that's fine. That's the reward that comes with winning the Super Bowl, to see what the Eagles will do. Will they stay at 32? Could they potentially move up? Will they trade back? We'll be here to cover everything all weekend long with exclusive interviews, insight into the draft room. In fact, Dave, you will be inside the draft room.
I will be inside the draft room, and we have a feature on that draft room. It is a new draft room. It is something that is absolutely spectacular. The old days are gone, and the NovaCare Complex has two really major additions. One, the Lombardi Trophy, and two, a beautiful draft room, which we will show you in just a bit. And inside that draft room tonight, Chris, a lot of patience will have to be exercised for a team that is used to moving, wheeling and dealing in the draft. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of leverage the Eagles have to move up, but we'll talk about what we expect the team to do a little later in the show.
Indeed. We have exclusive one-on-one interviews with Howard Roseman. Only 6 draft picks right now at his disposal, but you never know what he's going to do, as well as Vice President of Player Personnel Joe Douglas giving us a look at the state of the Eagles roster going into the 2018 NFL Draft. We're going to take detailed looks at both the offense and defense sides of the football. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network will give us a preview of which offensive players who could be in play for the Eagles at 32, and Fran Duffy will take us inside the film room to break down some of the top defensive prospects in this year's draft class. But Dave, as we look forward to later on this evening and what the Eagles could do, is there a sense of the fact that the offseason has kind of filled all the holes, that there's really no major reaches that the Eagles have to do?
Yeah, I think the Eagles really, the way that they've been so aggressive in free agency, addressing needs at the wide receiver position, along the defensive line, at linebacker. So you go in kind of feeling that there's no immediate need unless you consider that nickel cornerback slot to be a starting position, which in theory you do. But I think the Eagles feel that they don't have to reach in this draft, Chris. They only have 6 picks at the moment. They would love to acquire more. I think at this point the Eagles understand that the draft will have to come to them. And then when the draft comes to them, they have to make the right selections starting at 32 tonight. And that's going to happen around 11:30, if we project correctly. A lot of patience being exercised for a man, Howie Roseman, not necessarily used to being patient.
Well, right now, he only has six draft picks, but he's such a wheeler and dealer. He is someone who has done a phenomenal job of executing trades throughout the league, not just in the draft, but free agency up until the trade deadline, that you figure out he's probably sitting back and he has a trick or two up his sleeve for this week.
And nobody thought free agency would be as aggressive as it was with the Michael Bennett deal, with getting rid of Torrey Smith and bringing back a player who unfortunately didn't last very long in Philadelphia. The Eagles did a really nice job addressing all of their needs in free agency, Chris. So that brings us to tonight, a very special night set in Arlington, Texas. Any Eagles fans who are down there, please represent the Super Bowl champions.
Indeed. So that's going to be so much fun to watch. You know, we're not going to maybe have a Drew Pearson moment, or we're going to have someone take the stage. Now, David Akers is set to announce the Eagles pick at some point on day two if the Eagles end up with a day two selection, which they don't have at the moment. I don't know if you're going to get into Drew Pearson mode, but the fact that the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions and get to celebrate in Arlington in the Cowboys' home stadium, I think is sweet enough.
Let's take a look, actually, real quick, at the Eagles and the picks that they have. We've got a graphic just reminding you where the Eagles select in this draft. There are six picks. Now, the Eagles doing really good work, trading away second, third, and fourth round picks, getting Carson Wentz, Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi. But as you look at it, there's just not a lot of draft currency here for this football team, just six picks. Ideally, you want to be around eight or nine. Let's see what Howie can do this weekend.
Indeed. So speaking of the draft room, you took a tour of it.
So the old days, Chris, the draft room, well, it was just a big room and it was a curtain that covered the Eagles draft board. That is not the case any longer. I took a tour with Patrick Dolan, the director of football technology, to see the new Eagles draft home. Hi, Eagles fans. Insider Dave Spadaro with you. And we've got something new at the NovaCare Complex. And I'm not talking about the Lombardi Trophy that's downstairs. I'm on the second floor with Patrick Dolan, the Eagles director of football technology. And we've got something to show you, a brand new football operations draft room. Well, they say it's spectacular. Let's go take a look.
Got it. Let's go.
Whoa. This is unbelievable. I'm used to the old draft room down the hall, where it's just white walls and players' names on magnets on the wall. What is this?
Well, welcome to the cutting edge. A lot of love, a lot of hard work went into trying to provide. And genuinely, it's all because Mr. Lurie wants us to be on the cutting edge, provides us the resources to provide our coaches, our scouts, with this kind of draft room. And it's more than just a draft room. It can be a boardroom. It is really, you know, the showplace now for all of our meetings and everything that we can do technology-wise.
All right, so I look at it, I see a bunch of televisions, I see cameras that are being used. This video wall provided by Panasonic. Explain how this helps the football team.
Well, which basically what you said, you know, in the old days, the draft board was magnets. Now we can bring it to life. We have the 8 86-inch monitors around the room, and the brains of it is a Extron quantum core processor, which allows us to throw any number of images on all of these walls. This room is 1,600 square feet. Our previous draft room was only 900 square feet. So some of the things that we're doing in here, we could not do in that old space.
All right, so let's talk about the logistics of this room. There are a lot of tables and chairs. Who's in the room? Who's in the positions of power? Give me a layout.
We have seating for 30 in the room. The main decision makers will be at the primary U.
Spadaro, Lurie.
One of the names was correct. Mr. Lurie and Howie and Joe and Doug and their top guys are all going to be around them here in the main U. But then we're going to have all the area scouts in here, which is one of the things that in the past the old draft room didn't have the space for the old area scouts. The table to my left over here is a technology table. That is sort of what controls what is going on each of the screens, on what if we want to change a station, if we want to turn volume up, if we need to change a report. We can take this 9-foot by 16-foot wall, we can turn it into one huge canvas or 16 individual canvases. This room is backed up and backed up. This room is not going down.
Patrick, what kind of reaction have you gotten from Jeffrey, from Howie, from Doug?
I think it's been unbelievably positive. We have had a couple of draft meetings in here now. So we have a lot of room to grow. That's where we want to be. We always want to be on the leading edge.
We noticed that the walls are dark here. Yep. And I've also walked past here, Patrick, and I've seen through the windows.
So as soon as you put your hand in front of this screen, it comes to life.
Yep.
Now we have different room controls here. So if you want to change the glass, simply click on the word glass.
Okay.
And then click on the word clear.
So cool.
And now you're back. You want to frost it back up. Another simple click. It takes a second. That is the switch glass.
Thanks for the tour. This is where the Eagles will be stationed on draft weekend. So coupled with a great draft, we've got great technology to support it. Thanks, Patrick.
Absolutely. Welcome.
Dave, that is an absolutely phenomenal space. You just wish the Eagles had more picks so they could take advantage of it more.
You know, the thing that's funny about it, Chris, is that the big story is that there's actual daylight, that they don't feel like they're in a bunker, that they've got windows, they can see the outside world. But it really is a spectacular room, and, you know, it will improve the flow of communication, and the technology just keeps getting better and better upstairs.
Spuds, it's been such a hectic week leading up to tonight because the Eagles, as we said, sitting here with six draft picks, but so many calls are made throughout the course of the week to try to set up those deals where if there's a player who's in the late 20s who's really high on the Eagles' board, the Eagles could make a move, theoretically, to go up and get them. The Eagles sitting at 32, do one of the quarterbacks sit there at 32, and does a team maybe say, hey, we want to get at the end of the first round? Howie could be ready to go. So what I love about tonight is there seems to be so much more uncertainty going into those early picks than ever before in the past.
Yeah, and it's interesting, how will Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson and Joe Douglas, how will they really pay attention to the quarterback shuffle up at the top of the draft? When will they really dig in and get interested and potentially make a move? Well, I had a chance to sit down with Howie Roseman, the NFL's Executive of the Year in 2017, talking about tonight, this weekend, and the Eagles' draft approach. Howie, we're finally here. The draft is, it's draft night. You know, you've been waiting for so long. And yet you have to be so patient, more patient than you've ever been in your career waiting for that first-round pick. What's it going to be like, do you think, with 31 picks to be made before the Eagles are on the clock?
We have to prepare ourselves for the fact that it's going to be a long night. And luckily, we love watching the draft and being part of it and seeing guys come off, and it's fun for us. It's fun for us just to partake in it. And we'll be ready when we're on the clock. But until then, it'll be a fun process just kind of having everyone together in our new draft room and, you know, having the process go in front.
Yeah, we took a look at that draft room. It's spectacular. Amazing. How will it help the football operations this weekend?
Well, I think one thing is that every tool is at our disposal. So before, where maybe we'd have to break out to an office or have to have a different screen set up or even have an easel in front of us to look at different scenarios. I mean, this is all on big screens in front of us. You know, it feels like we can finally rival ESPN. You know, I joked with Pat Dolan for years. I said, you know, ESPN's able to do it. Why can't we do stuff like this? So we've got it, and it's exciting.
Howie, this draft is an interesting one, very top-heavy with intrigue, with quarterbacks. You know, you're just sitting there at 32. How do you look at that early part of the draft?
I'm glad we're not part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a beautiful thing. And one of the things that we did when we went to get Carson was we went through how the future would look. And it's an inexact science, but seeing what teams potentially could want quarterbacks over the next couple of years, that was a long list. And I think you're seeing some of that play out now. But it's going to be fun to watch and fun to see some of these trades and be a bystander.
So educate us. How does it work? You basically go group of five or six players at a time as you go through the first round, you know, from maybe 22 to 28, you say, hey, this is the pool of potentially 10 players who could be gone, and then you kind of see where they go and who's still left in that list. How does it actually work when you get close to your pick?
Well, one, you have to have 32 guys. You have to be very comfortable with your 32nd guy to take him at 32 because and we've seen it before. It doesn't go exactly how you want, and if you're stuck and you end up taking a guy that's, you know, your 33rd or 34th guy, it doesn't work. So you have to sit there and say, okay, this guy is our 32nd guy. This guy is the person we're going to take if all 31 go in front. But by the same token, you know, when guys outside of that list go, you're kind of adding the 31st guy, so now you're above that. So it's interesting because someone will take someone at 15 and you may have him 40th, and all of a sudden now that bumps guys up one slot. So I think for us, we're just going to try to make sure that we have that list really set. There'll be certain guys that we have higher graded at that we think that we have a chance at 32 just based on possibly the rest of the league and maybe scheme fit for someone else. But it's a unique situation, but let's get used to it.
You said last week that the Eagles are open for business in every round. So, of course, fans jump to the idea that, hey, we're going to trade out of 32. What makes for a good trade? For in your mind, the components that go into a good trade where everybody feels like they come out and win?
Well, I think first, you know, when you're moving up, it's all about where your board drops off. So if there's an impact player and you're within range, you know, those are the reasons that you move up, especially if your board drops off. But the flip side of that is if you have a bunch of similarly graded players and you could pick up additional picks, that makes sense from a team perspective. But what we want to be careful about is not getting into a situation where we bypass a player that we think can make a real difference on our team and then get a bunch of guys who maybe are role players or really aren't starting caliber. So, you know, those are the things that we're going to have to weigh here and some of the things that we've had in-depth discussions about as we prepared.
A lot of additions in free agency. How do you feel about the roster as the first round begins?
You know, I think we have a solid roster, but we're always looking to improve. There's always spots that we look at and say, hey, we got to get a better player here. And one of the best parts about our process is that talent acquisition season has just started. You know, you have free agency, now we have the draft. And maybe they're the most popular times to get players. But you still have free agency, guys left in free agency after the draft that we'll circle back on. You still have the opportunity at cutdowns to make trades and to potentially get guys from waiver wires. You have practice squads. And then you have another opportunity at the trade deadline. And one of the things that we're most proud of is the fact that we used every single one of those areas to improve our football team. And we're going to commit to do that again.
Last one, Howie. You have been very aggressive making deals. You get deals done. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I don't know, Dave. You know, they're not always good. You know, I think that you look back and the ones that you make that don't work out are the ones that really stick in your stomach a little bit. But, you know, from our perspective, we're going to keep swinging. You know, that starts with Jeffrey. Coach Peterson showed that from a coaching perspective. We're going to keep swinging. And when we're wrong, we're going to study why we're wrong. But we're going to get back up to the plate and we're not going to take that call third strike.
Howie, thank you very much. Great luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, one thing is for certain. I'm glad that the Eagles have Carson Wentz because you look at all these quarterbacks, and look, it could be a great quarterback draft with as many as five going in the first round later on this evening, but there's no surefire prospect there. As Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, has said, there's no Andrew Luck, there's no Carson Wentz in this draft class.
But as Eagles fans, we want those names to stay on the board as long as possible and slip down and make that 32nd pick as valuable as possible in the event that the Eagles want to trade into the second round.
Indeed. Last offseason, Howie Roseman did a phenomenal job of building the weapons around Carson Wentz to take advantage of his talent going into his second season. Wentz had an MVP-type season, setting the franchise record with 33 touchdown passes before suffering that knee injury. What will he do for an encore here in the 2018 NFL Draft? Well, we're going to preview the offense going into this season right after this break here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson.
No matter when you retire, your income doesn't have to. See how Lincoln can help ensure you still have income every month of your retirement. Guaranteed at LincolnFinancial.com.
Honey, look what we got!
Going big isn't always best.
Who's our little puppy?
Sweetheart.
Daddy got you new. Sweetheart?
Elizabeth, where are you? She's out of the bed!
Unless it's a AAA Plus membership. Get 100 towing miles and free emergency gas delivery when going big is best. AAA, go ahead.
Woo! Did you get it?
Yep.
The buttermilk crispy chicken?
Two choices.
Oh.
Which one?
Oh, I can't decide between this love and that love.
Gil, Which one?
Like McDonald's Buttermilk Crispy Tenders? Then you'll love the juicy Buttermilk Crispy Chicken in our signature crafted recipe sandwiches. Choose from specialty flavors like sweet barbecue bacon.
You pick.
It's Buttermilk Love at McDonald's.
Eagles Draft Central is presented by Deaton Watson, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome back to Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson. We've talked about Carson Wentz, but what's behind it? Because Wentz is coming back from the ACL injury. Nick Foles, a phenomenal run all the way to the Super Bowl. But there's another promising backup who the Eagles are very excited to see this spring.
Yeah, the Eagles really feel good about the quarterback room, of course. Look, they've got the quarterback of the future and the present, the MVP candidate in Carson Wentz. They've got the Super Bowl MVP in Nick Foles. And then they have a player, Nate Sudfeld, who last year at this time was a member of the Washington Redskins. The Eagles bring him in after the Redskins cut him, spent some time in the practice squad, developed him enough that in the final game against the Dallas Cowboys set an NFL record for highest completion percentage of any quarterback starting in his first game. So this is a great position to be in. The Eagles will not draft a quarterback tonight or any time during this weekend. They feel they've got three excellent prospects, unless they make a trade, which you never know.
But it doesn't look
like that's going to happen. But there are other needs on offense.
Certainly. Let's look at the offensive line, the protection for Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld up front there. Big V, Halapulavati Vaitai, stepped in the left tackle and was very good down the stretch as a starter. But it's great that the Eagles are getting an all-pro Jason Peters, who was at the top of his game before he suffered an ACL injury.
Hey Chris, do you think the Eagles need an offensive lineman? There seems to be a consensus out there that this is a chance to draft that offensive tackle for the future. Now, that's a possibility. And the Eagles also would look to add some depth inside with Stefan Wisniewski, Brandon Brooks, Isaac Seumalo, Chance Warmack in there. At some point, that will be an area to address. And the Eagles brought in a lot of offensive linemen in the pre-draft period. Where do you rank offensive line, Chris, in terms of needs for the Eagles?
I think it's relatively high. This is the key. It's not for 2018, but it's for the future because, again, Jason Peters is getting up there in age. When you look at Lane Johnson, are you going to keep him at right tackle or are you going to slide him over to left tackle, which was the original plan? But at the same time, when you look at the pass rushers who the Eagles face week in and week out, that right side is just as important to protect as the left side. You look at the interior, Jason Kelce, a phenomenal bounce-back season, all-pro honors in 2017. Brandon Brooks, he's at the top of his game. And Stefan Wisniewski, very quietly solidified the left guard spot. But in the future, that's a big thing when I look at the offensive line and the knees there. So immediately, not a concern. But Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas have done a great job of building their roster to the point where, like you said at the top of the show, Dave, there are no immediate needs for this football team, or very few. They can look for the future.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles can address offensive line at some point in this draft, and I think they will. But I'd be a little surprised. Unless there's somebody who really jumps out at them 32 or in the second round, I think the Eagles stay away from offensive line. Now, how about the running back position? Jay Ajayi, final year of his contract. How long will his knee stay healthy? Where is Jay Ajayi in the long-term picture with the Philadelphia Eagles? Corey Clement, outstanding rookie season. Wendell Smallwood, can he bounce back after last year's disappointing season? And then Danelle Pumphrey, fourth-round draft pick a year ago, put on some weight, bulked up. Is that enough to make this roster?
That's a big question here. What do the Eagles think of some of their players? They've done a self-evaluation process throughout this offseason. And you mentioned Ajayi going to the final year of his deal. And the Eagles are very good at looking toward the future. They'll say, look, again, it's not an immediate need right now, but what's going to happen contractually down the road? They may look at a guy at 32 and think that's an impact player. And Joe Douglas said during his pre-draft media availability that he doesn't shy away from running back in the first round. That's a big debate these days of whether you want to invest that much in that position so early in the draft. If he's a game changer, why not? But the one area that the Eagles need to address, I think, from a running back standpoint, is that dynamic third down back. Maybe Corey Clement is that guy, grows into that role. Maybe it's Danelle Pumphrey. But you don't have Darren Sproles coming back, who is able to be electrifying as a pass receiver out of the backfield, a returner as well. So that's the one area where you wonder, what do the Eagles want from that spot?
And we move on to the pass catchers here, Chris, and that's an area where we do expect the Eagles to address certainly the tight end position with Brent Celek, a free agent, with Trey Burton in Chicago as a free agent signing there. The Eagles signing Richard Rodgers, but you need a third tight end. So I would expect a tight end at some point in this draft. And wide receiver, Mike Wallace replaces Torrey Smith Mac Hollins expected to take a bump up. Shelton Gibson expected to take a bump up as well. But wide receiver wouldn't surprise me either.
It wouldn't surprise me either. Alshon Jeffrey is coming off the rotator cuff injury, so we may not see a lot of him in this offseason, but you mentioned the Mike Wallace deal, bringing him in. But Nelson Agholor, he's another player who has said that, look, he made a great jump going into year three. He wants to make an even bigger leap going into his fourth season, was phenomenal down the stretch, was an outstanding pass catcher in the Super Bowl win over the Patriots, so he's become a dynamic part of this offense. You wonder how much room is there for him to grow going into 2018.
So I'm going to list my needs this way offensively.
Okay.
I'm going to say tight ends number one. I'm going to say running back number two, wide receiver number three, offensive line number four.
I would maybe put offensive line a little higher just because of the importance of the position of that more than anything else. So we've talked about the Eagles' perspective here of what's going on with the offense, but for the NFL draft and what the Eagles might do from a player acquisition standpoint this weekend, let's go to NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks, and he's going to be a part of the main broadcast there in Arlington, Texas all weekend long. Daniel, in your latest mock draft, you have the Eagles taking a running back, Sony Michel, at number 32. Look, you're the one who told me before the Super Bowl that Corey Clement would be the X factor, and he proved to be with four catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Why do you think the Eagles go running back here at the end of round one?
Well, look, they showed last year they like being able to use a stable of backs. And, when you lose a LeGarrette Blount, getting somebody else in the mix, I don't think it really matters what style of running back the new running back has. I think it's all about just getting somebody you can share some carries and can make something happen. And I think Sony Michel, for that portion of the draft, is a good value. And someone you put in right away with Jay Ajayi, take something off of his legs, and now you use Corey Clement in the passing game, and Sony Michel can do a little bit of everything.
DJ, in your mock, I was shocked to see Darius Geis go as high as he did, 13th to Washington. There's been a lot of rumors about the Eagles being very interested in Geis. Why do you think he goes that high in the draft? It's something that we haven't seen a lot of leading up to tonight.
Well, it's going to be hot off the presses. The new mock draft is coming your way, so it'll be all the way outdated by the time we get to the tip-off, the first pick tonight. But to me, when you look at Darius Geis, he's extremely talented. He's worth a top 15, top 20 pick. But the more information I get throughout the process, I do think you probably see him slide down just a little bit. But, man, the Eagles, if he was to be on the board, you can make a strong argument he should get a pick.
Daniel, a couple of wide receivers of interest, DJ Shark, Cortland Sutton. How would they fit into this offense? Why would you perhaps see a need for a wide receiver here?
Yeah, I mean, I just think you have different options, and Doug Peterson likes to be able to use those different personnel groups. So when you have Cortland Sutton, you get the size and physicality that he brings, and teaming him up with Alshon would be kind of interesting. And then when you look at a DJ Shark, he just gives you that burner, take the top off the defense. You lose a Torrey Smith. You plug in a guy like DJ Chark, and he fills that role. You've got now Mike Wallace in the mix. So you'd have a real eclectic group of wide receivers.
DJ, Zach Ertz proved that he's one of the best tight ends in the league in 2017. But behind him, there are some question marks with Brent Celek, now a free agent, and Trey Burton leaving to go to Chicago. Yeah. There are two prospects who could be there at 32 for the Eagles, Hayden Hurst and Dallas Goedert. What's your scouting report on those two?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Hayden Hurst is the best guy. He's really intriguing. He's a former baseball player. He's a little bit older, and maybe that'll be a warning sign there for some Eagle fans who remember the Danny Watkins experience, but I don't think there's anything like that to be worried about here with Hayden Hurst. You love the speed and the athleticism that he shows you, being able to get down the seam and make some plays in the passing game, but he's competitive as a run blocker, and that's what separates him from the rest of this tight end class. And then with Dallas Goedert, you have the size and somebody that gets you some action down there in the red zone. He can be a big-time weapon down there.
You all know that the Eagles not only draft for now, but we're drafting for the future here. An offensive tackle, an interesting position with Jason Peters coming back from the injury. Halipolavati Vaitai filled in capably at left tackle. A couple of offensive linemen that really caught our interest. Colton Miller, big guy from UCLA. Connor Williams from Texas, inside, outside kind of player. What can you tell us about those two?
Yeah, look, Connor Williams, if you watch him in 2016, he looked like a top 10 pick. And then this year comes back to Texas, new coaching staff. He gets injured, did not play nearly as well, and his stock took a big hit to the point where it wouldn't shock me if he slid out of the first round or just went in the very bottom of the first round. And then Colt Miller is the name you just hear more and more as we come through the latter portion of the process here. Ultra athletic, You know, had a rough game against Texas A&M early in the season, had some struggles against Oregon, but handled himself quite well through the rest of the Pac-12 schedule. And you're talking about rare size with him. He is enormous and a great athlete. Raw, no question, but somebody that's been compared to a Nate Solder, who just got a whole lot of money from the Giants.
Daniel, we're going to be waiting all night here to see what the Eagles do at 32. And we all know that the possibility exists that they could move up, which seems very unlikely, stay put at 32, or move out of round one. How does it work at the end of the draft? How likely is it that the Eagles would move out at 32? And why is that pick so attractive to teams?
Well, you get that extra year on the contract. That's one of the reasons why it's attractive to teams wanting to come in to pick 32. And I think when you look at the Eagles not having a pick on day two, I would be surprised, to be honest with you, if they did not trade back and accumulate some picks in that range, second, third round range. So to me, the only reason you stay there, you have a list of guys that you say, okay, we're not going to trade off of these players. And maybe it's a handful of guys. You think there's a possibility they could be there and you don't trade out. But man, I just think when you look at how set their roster is right now, I don't think they're in a position where they have to pick right there. And it makes a lot of sense for them to get back.
Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, best of luck this weekend. Thank you very much for the insight. And we're going to be back with more here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson, after these messages.
This is our year at long last. Our year for our city to push ahead and put an end to a dynasty.
A message from Mr. Monopoly.
Hello! I'm so excited that the Pennsylvania Lottery wants me to give away part of my vast fortune for their Monopoly scratch-offs. In fact, I've installed this bell behind me to alert me when there's a winner. Oh, there's a winner right now! And another one! Wow, that bell's working overtime! I love the sound of winning!
You could win up to 300 grand with a second chance at over 100 grand in prizes.
That's a lot of lucky Pennsylvanians!
Don't overpay for your diamonds. For more than 30 years, Golden Nugget Jewelers has been cutting and polishing the most beautiful ethical diamonds in the world and selling them at factory direct prices. We are proud to be the only authorized dealer in Philadelphia for Tacori, Verragio, and Michael M.
And a proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Check out our 5-star reviews online, then visit us on Jewelers Row and see why we sell more loose diamonds than any other retailer in the tri-state area. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
This is our year at long last. Our year for our city to push ahead and put an end to a dynasty.
All right, enough of the offense. Defense wins championships, okay? Brandon Graham had the strip sack late in the fourth quarter of the win over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We all held our breath when Tom Brady threw that final Hail Mary, which fell to the ground incomplete. But what can the Eagles do to add to this defense, which was so good at getting after the quarterback last season? And we'll start with the defensive line, Dave, as the Eagles did make the trade for Michael Bennett. But there are some players that they have to offset here with Vinnie Curry and Bo Allen, both leaving in free agency to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a need. I think with Derek Barnett getting into year two, with Haloti Ngata, the veteran big man in the middle presence, with Michael Bennett adding versatility as well as pass rush off the edge, I think the Eagles are in really, really good shape here. And I don't expect them to go defensive line unless there is the best player on the board. For me, D-line is just fine.
See, I wouldn't be surprised because I know the Eagles have invested a lot of resources in the defensive line. I mean, you remember in the 2017 offseason, they made the trade for Tim Jernigan and then signed him to a long-term deal. You can never have enough good pass rushers, never enough good defensive linemen. And Howie Roseman said back at the Combine in February that, look, we may have some losses there, but we are not going to have fewer ammo to load up to get after the quarterback next season. Now, I think we can agree on this, Buds, that linebacker is a position that was solidified by bringing back Nigel Bradham on the long-term deal. And you're adding veterans like Corey Nelson, expected to compete for an outside, weak side linebacker position, and Paul Warlow, the Delaware native, who adds some depth there. But you feel like they need that young playmaker that they possibly could add to the mix. You hold your breath there
I agree. I think that one of the big questions of this draft is how much do the Eagles trust that Jordan Hicks will come back healthy and stay healthy, nobody denies what a playmaker he is, what a leader he is, cerebral, great team guy, outstanding football player. But in two of his three seasons, he's had his time cut short. As a rookie, lost half a season with a pectoral muscle injury, and then last year, the Achilles tendon injury, gone for the season after seven games. How much do you trust that Jordan Hicks comes back, stays healthy, or do you go out and get that middle linebacker, or do you think Paul Werlow, Joe Walker can man the position?
All right, so Hicks now, he did play all of 2016, but as you mentioned, Dave, when he's on the field, it's been phenomenal. Just can he stay healthy? Because availability is the best availability in the NFL. Cornerback, it's funny, Spuds, because a year ago at this time, before the draft, we were like, what are the Eagles going to do at cornerback? Because you had Jalen Mills and really not a whole lot of options after that. Now you enter this year's draft, and they drafted Sidney Jones in the second round, Rasul Douglas in the third round. They traded for Ronald Darby. It seems like there's a lot of options there for the Eagles at a very, very critical position.
Yeah, you know, Chris, it's a young group. It's a talented group. They really are excited about the players here. Sidney Jones will have a chance to start in his second season. We saw just a little bit of Sidney in that finale in the regular season game against the Cowboys. So if you project and you believe that Sidney Jones becomes a starter and that Ronald Darby is a starter, who's your nickel cornerback? Where's Jalen Mills fit in? Where does Rasul Douglas fit in? How about some of the young players on the practice squad from a year ago? Cornerback is certainly a position that you never shy away from. You just can't have enough of them, just like you said about pass rushers.
Indeed. Just like it's that nickel cornerback. That's the one spot that's most important because there's really not a natural fit. Right now, when you look at the roster, a natural fit for that position.
I guess I'd be shocked if the Eagles at the top of the draft went cornerback. And if they did, obviously it would be somebody that they had rated very, very highly.
And I think the importance there would be, can he play inside? That's where I think the one thing that they really need to fill. Now, at safety, I think we agree, Spuds, that Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, one of the best safety duos in the league, arguably the best, but there's not a lot of depth behind there. You have Chris Maragos coming off the knee injury. Trey Sullivan was on the practice squad last season. He's going to be competing for a roster spot. But Corey Graham, who is so reliable down the stretch for the Eagles, he's a free agent at this point. That's one area that I would not be surprised to see the Eagles address.
And that would be a move to bring in somebody to develop. We talked about the future, develop in the future. So, yeah, a safety, I could see it. Would it have an impact on 2018? Not so sure about that.
All right, so there's our look at the defense. Now, what about the prospects? Who are the top playmakers in this year's draft class? We talked to Daniel Jeremiah a few moments ago, but now we're going to go inside the film room. And one of the best is inside our own building, none other than Fran Duffy. Let's send it to Fran as he breaks down the best players on film in this year's draft class.
Well, thank you very much, Chris and Dave. And I agree with both of you guys. The front seven on defense may not be where the biggest needs are on that side of the ball, but tonight, I think there's a chance that we could see one or two or three very talented players at defensive line or at the linebacker position fall down to 32. And those players are Maurice Hurst, the defensive tackle from Michigan, and Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker from Boise State. Just a few weeks ago, I would have told you were crazy if either of those two names were available at 32. But Maurice Hurst, an explosive three-technique defensive tackle, he has got a great first step and makes plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. He's falling because there was a heart issue that turned up at the combine, and now there are a lot of whispers that he could fall, not just to the end of the first round, but potentially into day two or even day three. Then you go to Leighton Vander Esch, who is extremely instinctive and really on film is one of the two or three best linebackers in this class, but he missed a large amount of time in his junior season, only a one-year starter for the Broncos, extremely productive this past season as a junior. We're going to show you an example of why. Here he is in the Mountain West title game against Fresno State. You see him here in the middle of the field. He's going to make a great play in pass coverage here against Fresno State, and they're running a route concept that we see very often. You're going to see a three-level stretch. A receiver ran vertical. You're going to have another receiver right here in the intermediate area, and here's another receiver short. Now, Vander Esch has his eyes on the quarterback. He is seeing exactly what he's seeing. The quarterback saw that the three-level stretch was taken away, and he's trying to hit a receiver on the back end of this route concept, and Leighton Vander Esch is going to get right into the throwing lane and make an incredible play on the ball. Interception and late in the fourth quarter helps seal the victory for the Boise State Broncos, and that's exactly what Leighton Vander Esch brings to the table. To me, those two guys may be names to watch maybe they're too good to pass up on, depending on how the Eagles feel about their medical scenarios. Now, other names to keep an eye on at those two positions for the Eagles: Taven Bryan, a defensive tackle from Florida, extremely disruptive interior player, a junior who declared for the draft. And then also at linebacker, Rashawn Evans, a talented senior, made the transition from an edge rusher off to the inside as a middle linebacker for Nick Saban, and was incredibly productive this year as a senior. So those are the four names to keep an eye on up front. Now, when you transition into the secondary, that's where things really get interesting, because there are a number of names at the cornerback spot that have been linked to the Eagles in mock drafts over the course of the last few months. You can see Isaiah Oliver, the talented corner from Colorado. He is 6 foot tall with great ball skills. Then you have Jair Alexander, who is one of the best man-to-man cover corners in this draft. He can play inside and outside. Mike Hughes has a great play personality, one of the best tacklers in the secondary in this class. And all three of those guys have some ability in one way, shape, or form to be able to play inside or outside. Like you guys talked about, that is going to be very important if the Eagles do select a cornerback in this draft. But if they do trade down, or if they wait until later, one of those names that really intrigues me is MJ Stewart from North Carolina. He's a three-year starter for the Tar Heels. He's a senior, went down to the Senior Bowl and had a really great week of practice. But really what makes him more of a slot corner is that he's under 5'11". He didn't run all that fast at the combine. He's not a speed guy on film. So a lot of people think, hey, he's going to transition to the slot where his toughness, his instincts, his ball skills will help him thrive in the NFL level. And that's exactly what we're going to see here. He's matched up against Penn State wide receiver Deshaun Hamilton on a quick slant route. And this is one of the best route runners in college football he's matched up against. Watch what MJ Stewart does here. He disrupts the route initially off the release, plays through the body of the receiver, gets a pass breakup, gets the ball on the ground. MJ Stewart, one of the most disruptive corners in this class in terms of making plays on the ball. So if the Eagles decide to go early with a slot corner, we talked about Mike Hughes. You've got Dante Jackson from LSU, who's got outstanding speed. Jair Alexander, Isaiah Oliver, absolutely all on the table. But if you wait a little bit, you've got MJ Stewart. There's Teron Johnson from Weber State, DJ Reed from Kansas State. A very deep group of slot corners in this draft, one of the deeper positions in this draft. So that will be very interesting to watch. And then at the safety spot, Justin Reed, I think, is very versatile. He's got great ball skills, played a number of different roles for the Stanford Cardinal over the past few years. And then you have Ronnie Harrison, a first-round target potentially for the Eagles out of Alabama. So a lot of players on the table for this defensive group, and it will be interesting to see how it all pans out tonight.
Great stuff, as always, from Franet. We cannot ignore the third phase, the kicking game, and it's going through a bit of a turnover.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Rick Lovato is the long snapper. Jake Elliott is the place kicker. Who is the punter on this football team with Donnie Jones retired, unretired, not on the Eagles roster? Right now it's Cameron Johnston. Would the Eagles draft a punter? We remember that Howie Roseman in 2011 used a fourth-round pick on Alex Henry at the place kicker position. I don't think Howie wants to do that again, but I know that punter and the holder position,
yes,
on field goals, very important for the Eagles.
The Eagles don't punt, though. They go for on fourth down. It sort of diminishes
true.
The
that's
role
a good point.
Punters,
but the holder, Chris, can
yes.
Cameron Johnston hold as well as Donnie Jones?
That's a great question. Those are big shoes to fill heading into this
upcoming season. Where are Donnie Jones' shoes? Is he playing in 2000? What is going on? Hey, Donnie, give us a call.
So we've given our state of the roster, but what does Joe Douglas think of this roster heading into the NFL draft? We're going to ask the vice president of player personnel himself after this break here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson.
Since 1904, Philly's top sandwich pros and homemakers have always started the exact same way.
with those legendary rolls baked fresh daily. Want to make the very best sandwiches? Always start with the very best sandwich rolls. Amoroso's.
Why Philly sandwiches are world famous at your favorite supermarkets and food stores.
The Eagles personnel department hit it out of the ballpark in 2017. Very aggressive start to 2018. I had a chance to sit down with Joe D to talk about the state of the Eagles roster. Joe Douglas, welcome. I want to start with a little while ago, the Super Bowl. And you'd been there before. You'd won it before. What was this experience like for you?
It was a blur, but such an exciting moment. Not only on a personal level and professional level, just to see the reaction in the city, the parade, the amazing atmosphere, see the fans that have been waiting so long for this experience, and just so happy for them.
How did you balance the time preparing for the postseason, doing everything you can to help this team win the Super Bowl, and at the same time, at a very critical period of time, getting ready for the 2018 offseason?
Yeah, you know, I think our personnel on the personnel calendar didn't really change for us. We were able to stay on schedule. Our biggest obstacle post Super Bowl was catching the coaches up, more so in unrestricted free agency and restricted free agency. But I feel good. I think Andy Weidel, Anthony Patch, Ian Cunningham did an unbelievable job on the college side. Dwayne Joseph, Brandon Brown, Matt Holland, unbelievable job on the pro side. So I felt really good where we're at right after the Super Bowl.
So we're sitting here with this draft right upon us. When you look at the roster as it currently stands, what do you think?
We feel good about where we're at as a team. We feel good about the overall depth of the team. It was a strength last year. I think it'll be a strength this year.
Do you feel like you've done enough to go into the draft not having to draft a player who you expect to start right away?
Well, I mean, you're always looking for the best player available, right? I think everyone's heard me say that before. But, yeah, I think this is a unique situation where we can go into the draft, and where we're picking at 32, I mean, we'll definitely have a chance to get our best player available.
Let's talk about a couple of positions that really jump out when you look at this football team. At quarterback, in a league where teams are really scrambling for starters, the Eagles have an MVP candidate in Carson Wentz, a Super Bowl MVP in Nick Foles, and a developmental prospect in Nate Sudfeld. I mean, this is kind of a luxury at this position.
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, a guy in what a lot of people around the league think should have been the league MVP in Carson Wentz, unbelievable second season. Super Bowl MVP in Nick Foles, what a run he had at the end of the season and through the playoffs. And then Jeffrey touched on it a little bit on the league meetings. Couldn't be more excited about Nate Sudfeld, a player that we acquired after the preseason last year from the Washington Redskins. And a guy throughout the entire season, he gave our defense great looks throughout the week. He worked so hard to improve his craft. And so we're going into the 2018 season, very unique position with the quarterback position.
With regards to Nate, Joe, can you explain to fans, how did it work last year? He gets cut by Washington, and I guess you're scouting every player, of course, through the preseason. What did you see in him to give him a chance to be on the practice squad here?
Right. You know, The post-preseason cutdown, that's one of the many windows we have to improve our roster. And our pro scouting department, headed up by Dwayne Joseph, Brandon Brown, Matt Holland, guys I'd mentioned before, did an unbelievable job of just pinpointing guys that we thought could help us and had developmental traits to work with. And also we go back and there's good grades on Nate through the college scouting process when he came out 2 years ago. So it really came together, and it was an opportunity for us. A player gets cut that we liked at a premium position. Well, let's go out and recruit this guy, try to get him on board. It ended up working out, and we couldn't be happier.
We also are kind of looking at the offensive and defensive lines here. Game is won at the line of scrimmage. Eagles appear to be in really great shape on both sides of the ball. How do you view the line of scrimmage?
Well, personally, being a former lineman in college, very partial to the line of scrimmage, O-line and D-line. It all starts up front. And when you can go into a game and you have a distinct advantage at either the O-line or the D-line or both, you're going to be in every game. And we had a great group of linemen, both O and D-linemen, Jeff Stoutland, Eugene Chung, Philip Daniels, Chris Wilson. They've done a great job getting those guys ready each and every week.
It's really amazing when you think about it. Last year, the Eagles lose a future Hall of Famer at left tackle, put in a second-year player Vitae, who hadn't played left tackle, and all of a sudden you win the Super Bowl. And it seemed, Joe, that he got better and better and better. Big V, at the end of the season, what kind of football was he playing?
Big V, I mean, starting left tackle on a Super Bowl champion, yeah. Fifth round pick from a year earlier. Again, I touched on the job that Coach Dowlin does, but Big V was unique in that he had an opportunity when we lost Lane last year, 2 years ago, I should say, and he came in against the Redskins, faced a little adversity, but he got better each and every week. So you saw a guy that, okay, he can pick himself up, dust himself off after a little bit of adversity, got better each week. Unfortunately, he got hurt, but then he came in, had a great training camp. Coach Dowlin did an unbelievable job developing him and his skills, and so we were able to hit the ground running. I hate to lose a player the caliber of Jason Peters, future Hall of Famer, but V came in, did a great job. Jason was there helping him along the way. It was great to see.
Vinny Curry, Bo Allen in Tampa.
Yeah.
Eagles bringing in Haloti Ngata, Michael Bennett, two veterans with a lot of experience, Super Bowl rings on their fingers. What do you expect from them?
Yeah, you mean, you hit the nail on the head. Two guys that have Super Bowl experience. And, I mean, Haloti is a guy that I've known for a long time, being a former first-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. And just very excited that he chose to come here. The wealth of experience, knowledge he brings at the position, he's going to be a great asset to the D-line room. Michael Bennett's versatility, a guy that can play D-end, a guy that can move down and play defensive tackle in our nickel and sub packages. We couldn't be more excited on those two guys.
I think, Joe, linebacker's a really interesting position to, as a group, think about here. Jordan Hicks coming back from the injury. Can he be trusted to stay healthy? In the meantime, you go out and get Paul Werlow, who's started 50-plus games at middle linebacker. Corey Nelson helps out on the weak side, provides some competition. As a group, what do you see from them?
You were fortunate to get those two guys because those guys are going to come in and they are going to compete and they have starting experience. So both those guys can come in, they can compete at Sand, they can compete at Will. They can really play anywhere because our linebackers have to be very versatile for Coach Schwartz and Coach Flagel. And those guys are high motor, high tempo guys that love football. They've been great players on special teams and they've been starters in the league.
In the backfield, I know he was a draft pick last year, but Sidney Jones feels like a newcomer to this 2018 team. First of all, how did he play against Dallas in the regular season finale? And then if he were healthy in this draft, would he be a high first-round pick?
You know, I think Sidney would still be one of the top corners in this draft. And the way that Sidney carried himself throughout the season, being out there, even though he was down rehabbing the Achilles injury, the way he carried himself and prepared in the classroom, the way he handled himself at practice, it was like he was preparing to start even when he was hurt. And when he got his opportunity in the Dallas game, he did everything we thought he would. He went out there, he competed, he had fun. We had him limited a little bit on a pitch count with his reps, but he did a phenomenal job for us.
Joe, is the approach here just bring in good players, no need to reach for any positions here in the draft?
No, I think when you reach, that's when you get in a bind and you make bad decisions. You know, you let the draft board come to you. There's no reason to really go outside of the plan and the strategy that we've put together. And we're going to let the draft board come to us and take the best player available for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Final question, just in general, this draft, are there certain characteristics that stick out to you, heavy at the top, talent throughout? I mean, how do you kind of look at it generally?
You know, I see this draft as being talent throughout. And I think there's a lot of different ways that we can help our roster throughout Thursday, Friday, hopefully Friday, and then Saturday.
Yeah. And then Sunday when that whole post-draft period, you
had post-draft
great
period.
Success
we
with
had, we had
Corey
success.
Last year.
We had success after the draft. We had success even after the draft with a couple of our signings in May and training camp and, you know, rolled into, like we talked about before, with the post-training camp acquisition. So, you know, the window of roster improvement never really stops.
Joe, good luck in the draft. Yeah, thanks
thank
so
you,
much.
Dave. Appreciate it.
Dave. No question that Joe and Howie and Andy have done a great job building the roster. The question for me for 2018 is, can they maintain that chemistry? Because you've heard it from players who are coming back for the offseason workout program, guys like Nick Foles who are saying this is a special place to work, that they've never been a part of a group of men like this. And that's why 2017 was so special. But that's like lightning in a bottle. That one of the biggest challenges, I think, for this team overall is can they repeat that in 2018?
Sure, and I think that starts now with the off-season conditioning program and Doug Peterson introducing the games, the fun games that the players are participating in. And then it also starts at the quarterback position. You're leaders of the team. Everybody looks at Carson, understands that he's the hardest working player in this building, and that's not a slight to anyone else. It begins with Carson, and then you've got leaders like Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins and Jason Peters and a veteran presence like Michael Bennett, who has to fit in to the Eagles culture. As Nick Foles said the other day, the way the Eagles do things.
See, it's great you mentioned Wentz and guys like Peters because they weren't on the field for the Super Bowl. They want to get back there. So when your leaders are hungry, and you know certainly they have the respect of the locker room, those guys are fighting to get back there. Everyone else is going to follow. So that's something promising to look forward to. Now, speaking of looking forward, we're going to be sitting here waiting for a while.
For hours.
For hours upon hours. Best case scenario, if the Eagles stay at number 32 and make the selection, we're looking probably close to 11:30, okay? And once they make the pick or they trade back, whatever happens, we're going to be live here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Dieter Watson. Dave will be outside the draft room. We're going to hear from Howard Roseman, Doug Peterson, and Joe Douglas right here. So, looking at 32,
if I ask them to be in the draft room, do you think they'll let me in before the pick's made?
I think they
will. They give me any input at all?
You've been
sure,
in the draft.
Sure, why not?
You've been in the draft. You're the insider.
The insider can't be on the outside of the draft.
Not at all.
Howie, I'll be right up there.
Exactly. So
let's talk about what's going to happen.
Let's look at what the Eagles have in their arsenal to this point. So they have the 32nd overall pick. And then right now there is a golf outing scheduled. That's a joke that's been going around the front office for Friday because they don't have the second or third round picks. But day three, they're going to be quite busy. And I think Joe Douglas is salivating at the thought of having those five day three picks because that's when his guys get to showcase their true skills and bring in those under-the-radar talents that maybe weren't on everyone's radar.
Yeah, look, the intrigue tonight is do the Eagles move up or move back? If they stay at 32, they take the best player on the board. Do they have enough draft capital to move up in the draft? Boy, it would take a miracle. Unless you're trading veteran players or future draft picks, very difficult to go from 32 into the 20s. The most likely scenario, that the Eagles move back. But all you hear, Chris, in this pre-draft period is all of these teams wanting to move back, that the value in the draft is really from picks 22 to 52, so that those players are in kind of the same category in terms of second and third round picks. So, I mean, look, it's going to be the early part. Yeah, it'll be fun to watch where the quarterbacks go. Saquon Barkley, certainly. But then it's going to be a period of time where we're really going to be going, geez, get me to 32. This is going to take forever. And then you're reminded, as you look at your fingers and you get fitted for the champion for that Super Bowl ring, you go, it's worth the wait.
It is worth the wait, certainly. So let's take a look at the last 10. 32 picks, number 32 overall selections here to get a sense of, you know, who could be on the board, what type of talent will be on the board. And last year, the Saints got an offensive tackle starting for them, Ryan Ramczyk. Good value for them right there. But you go through the list, and there's guys like Teddy Bridgewater, who the Vikings wanted to get back into the first round to get that fifth-year option there. Didn't work out for them. He's not even their quarterback anymore.
Well, it worked out until he got hurt.
True.
And so the hit rate in the first round is less than 50%, and these picks, these last 10 picks, right around that percentage. Patrick Robinson, injuries marred his career, unfortunately, and then he came to Philadelphia, had a great year. So there is talent at that 32nd pick. I believe Drew Brees was a 32nd pick in the draft, was he not? I think he's a he's a Hall of Famer. So there is talent there, obviously, and the Eagles, if they sit at 32, will have a chance to get a very good football player here, Chris. 50-50, Eagles making that pick at 32, or trading back into the second round?
I feel like they're at the end of the day, I think they're making a pick. Just because I think there's going to be so much of a desire for teams to want. Every team, I think, in those 20s wants to trade back. And, look, somebody's got to make the deal at some point. But to me, I think there's going to be a good player who probably slides to the latter half of the first round and will be a phenomenal choice for the Eagles.
So you're saying the Eagles pick at 32 tonight?
I think the Eagles pick at 32. Now, if they decide to trade back, here's a look at what they may be able to get. You go through the history, you start from last year alone, some of the late round selections. The Falcons, they moved up to number 26, five selections up. Seattle went back to 31. They got a third round pick and a seventh round pick. And you look down the list here, you pretty much are going to be getting a mid round pick, maybe a mid round pick and a late round pick. Yeah. So the big thing for Howie Roseman is he would love to have that day two selection. You have some players involved here. Look, Brandon Cooks was involved in the trade between the Patriots and the Saints. last year for that number 32 overall pick. So certainly, you know, could a player.
Howie Roseman does, he makes deals. Look at that in 2016. San Francisco gets the 28th pick. They move up. Kansas City gets a second round pick, a fourth round pick, and a sixth round pick. That is great return. So you hope that somebody really values that 32nd pick. I think the Eagles move out tonight and don't make a selection until tomorrow.
That, again, that would be the ideal scenario, I think. But to me, I'm hoping that there's just – I just want more good football players. Yeah. As Howie and Joe, everyone in the building keeps saying, just bring in good football players. But certainly the Eagles don't want to be sitting around twiddling their thumbs on Friday when all these good players are coming off the board and the Eagles have no selection.
They're going to be twiddling their thumbs at some point in this draft, whether it's tonight for most of the night or tomorrow in rounds 2 and 3. You only got 6 draft picks, Chris.
So, but again, what the Eagles use to get – those picks to acquire, those players, and at the end of the day, being able to have the 32nd overall pick because they're Super Bowl champions is well worth it. So that's going to do it for us here on the preview show of Eagles Draft Central presented by Dietz and Watson. Again, once the Eagles move up, make a pick, or trade out, we'll be back live for complete analysis and to hear from the decision makers. So for Dave Spadaro, I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the 2018 NFL Draft.